I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on mine ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart, it's ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen. So glad he communes with us. We're going to see a little more about that in the message this morning. Let's turn to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We would continue these messages with the exhortation to watch. And today, I want to speak on the fact that we are to watch unto prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto, that is, watching unto prayer. A close study of this chapter shows that this is the last piece of armor that we have been given. And as we have noted, those pieces of armor are especially connected with truth, with the Word of God. This one also the same pattern. I want to notice today that the terms watch and pray are mentioned a number of times in Scripture. And those two terms are very much interconnected, almost to the point that they are synonymous with one another. Remember, I'm sure, the illustration, the example of Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested. as he told his disciples, "Sit here while I go yonder and pray." Then he came back in a little while. He found them sleeping, and he says, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" And so there are these two go together in a number of places. For example, Mark 13:33 tells us, "Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." There are different reasons, different exhortations that are given in these citations. Luke 21:36 is another. "Watch and pray, that you be counted worthy to escape." And the things he's talking about is the escape of things at the end of these last days. We would emphasize once again the little word "watch," as we have been doing that in these last messages. And so we find here in our text, "praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching." There are a number of other words here that the Apostle Paul uses to express the same thing. We have seen before that the little word "watch" means to be sleepless, literally. It means to keep awake. But I want to notice that it implies something constant. And that's what we see here in this verse. As we read in verse 18, "praying always." Then we read with watching, the same word, and then with all perseverance and supplication. And so there is a constancy about this. It is not just something that you do periodically or sporadically. There is a constant watching unto prayer. Paul gives us the same wonderful message in 1 Thessalonians 5:1 when he says, "Pray without ceasing." You see, it's a constant thing. Now, we very well know we can't stay on our knees all day and all night, and we don't, but we can't be prostrate before him in prayer at all times. But this speaks of having a constant attitude of prayer, and I really do mean a constant attitude of prayer, even day and night. And so we must have that openness. We must have that time of being sleepless, that is, of being absolutely alert in all of these things at all times. Then the next thing I want to notice about this watching and about the praying is the intensity of it. We read here in verse 18, once again, "praying always with all prayer." And then, as we also find here in this same portion, that we are to make supplication, as we see, praying with all prayer and supplication. That word supplication does mean to make request, but it literally means to bind oneself. That's how intense it is. You're to be joined to it. It's not just a commonplace thing or something that is casual, rather, but it is rather something that is deliberate, something that is consciously intentional. And so this is exactly the way that we are to enter into prayer and supplication. Then you will notice that it is also to be in the Spirit. And that simply means that there are many people that interpret that, well, that means you're supposed to pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is certainly one way of praying in the Spirit. But I want to emphasize that when we pray, whether in a native tongue or in another tongue, we must be submitted to the Spirit. That's what this means. It is so intense. We have left behind our own ideas. We have left behind our own strength. We have left behind our own motivation. And we are now praying in the Spirit as He directs, as He motivates. And I repeat, that can be both in our native tongue and speaking also in tongues. We'll not turn there, but I'm sure you remember the verses there in Romans 8 where we read, "We know not what we should pray for as we ought, But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. This is why we pray in the Spirit, because He's the one who knows the mind of the Spirit. When He motivates us, we are going to be praying in accordance with the will of God, even as we see here. And so this intensity must be there in the Spirit, subjecting ourselves, submitting ourselves under the power of the Holy Ghost. And there's absolutely no substitute for that attitude and indeed following through with the literal putting forth of that same thing, praying in the Spirit. And then I want to emphasize, especially in this message, we must realize that prayer is not just making requests. It's included. We'll see that here in just a moment. But prayer is not just making a request. We saw it in Habakkuk 2:1, where Habakkuk said, "I will watch to see what he will say unto me." Watching and listening is a major part of prayer. We must be waiting in order for He indeed to speak to us. I want to use Jesus as the example of these things. He is the example of the greatest prayer warrior that ever was. He sets the illustrates exactly how we are to pray. The disciples came to Him, "Teach us to pray." Jesus set that example, of course, all the way through His life. But there's one particular point that brings these two together, that is praying and then God speaking. And we'll not turn there, but again, it's in Luke 3 and verse 21. You remember when Jesus came to John to be baptized of Him, and John finally submitted to that. Then we read this: "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying." Now, Luke is the only one that tells us that He was praying. The reason He does that is because that Luke presents Jesus as the man. And that's what we find today, that Jesus, the man, is representative for us men. We are to follow exactly the same pattern. And so only Luke tells us that He was praying when He came up out of the water in being baptized. But at that point, the heaven was opened, and then you'll notice the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him. A voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art My beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased." You see, prayer is when God also speaks. Sometimes people think that they're the only one talking. God is just up there listening, and maybe He will and maybe He won't. That's not prayer. Prayer is an interaction with God, an intercommunication with God. And we must give Him that opportunity to speak, as indeed He will. There is a beautiful illustration of this back in Isaiah the 50th chapter. Isaiah 50. And of course, it is a matter of speaking of Christ Himself, as we will see. This is a record of Jesus. Isaiah 50. Let's go down to verse 4. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, and He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and the cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Now, it's not hard to realize that these words are a direct prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It speaks of the time of His crucifixion, and these things happened to Him, but I want to notice that that's not the only time that this happened. This was a constant thing with Christ, and it must be a constant thing in our lives. And so let's back up here just a little bit in verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. That was not just sovereignly put it in, and some people think that way at times. Well, I don't need to study. I don't need to wait. I don't need anything. I just need to open my mouth and it'll come out. No. We must have the tongue of the learned. We have to learn first. And how does that happen? How does that come about? This is what I want to emphasize in the message today. That comes about when we are in this attitude of prayer, watching and listening what he would say unto me. And so as we read here, he's given me the tongue of the learned. Now notice the purpose, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. The purpose is to pass it on unto others, but as we've said time and again, the only way we can do that is to receive it for ourselves first. And let us understand, gaining knowledge of God's word, listening to God's voice, is a learning experience. And he can speak in so many different ways, so many different areas, through so many different people. The only thing important for us is that we are watching in an attitude of prayer. This is what he is telling us to follow in the ways of Jesus. Now notice further in this same verse, he wakeneth morning by morning. It is an everyday affair. It is not something for Sunday. It's not something just for Wednesday. It's not something for just when we get into trouble. He waketh morning by morning. And that is a joy for those who have experienced it, and many have. The Lord waked them up. Sometimes with a song, but sometimes with thought, sometimes with scripture, they are immediately in an attitude of prayer. I want to hear what you have to say unto me. And so it was with Jesus that he has given me that tongue. He wakeneth morning by morning. Verse 5 continues, the Lord God opens. That word literally means he plows. And this is what God does. He plows our ear. The Lord opened mine ear. And you notice I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. We see this foundation of hearing the Lord, being open unto him, during such seasons and times of prayer. We hear, and then of course we speak, as in that place, in that season, as we see here in our text. We'll not turn to these verses. They are familiar to you. You can take down the reference if you like. But Jesus literally did this. That great chapter 17, John 17. This is the real Lord's Prayer. It is the prayer of intercession. And it was in that prayer also that Jesus said this in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. They have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. How did they know that? For I have given unto them the words which you gave me. It's the same pattern that we find here in Isaiah. The same pattern must come to pass in our own lives and experience. We read again in the 8th chapter of John, I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. That is, which I've heard of my Father. He didn't do anything on his own. As he heard from his Father, he spoke. As he heard from his Father, he went. And so, again I say, Jesus was in a constant attitude of prayer. Yes, he would ask. Yes, he would request. But from these verses, we find that he also heard much from his Father. Verse 28 of that same chapter in John, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. Here again, referencing the tongue of the learned. Jesus had that because God taught him. And so as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And so we too are to have the same tongue of the learned. Now some might say, well, I'm not a preacher. Thank God everybody's not a preacher. But I have said over and over and over again, there are no useless members in the body of Christ. And God intends that every member of the body of Christ should be useful in spreading forth his message. I'll guarantee you there are some people that are much more effective witnessing one-on-one to other people than a preacher ever will be. Preachers go to the bulk, to the majority, to the congregation, so to speak. But there is a tremendous need for those who have the ability and they have the grace, they have the gift to work one-on-one with other people. And they are just as important as any preacher from the pulpit. And so there are no useless members in the body of Christ. And indeed, we must come to that place where all of us as members of the body of Christ, and we are in this state of prayer, this atmosphere of prayer, that we hear from him and then are able to speak with the tongue of the learned. Let us turn back to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 6. And Paul continues with this wonderful discourse here. As we read again in verse 18, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and that does include, that is, supplication, prayer, that most assuredly does include making our request unto God. Philippians 4:6 says it this way, be careful for nothing, but in everything. And he means everything. That's why I'm saying that when we are watch unto prayer, we are talking about every minute of every day. That is an attitude that we must possess in our own experience. And it will grow. It doesn't start out that way by any stretch of the imagination, but we certainly can grow into that place where we are in a constant attitude of prayer before the Lord. And so Paul says, on everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests. This is another point I want to emphasize when we are talking about praying and asking. It must always be a request, not a demand. I've heard some people pray as though we're demanding, God, you said this, you have to do such. And no, he doesn't. Let your request. Once again, I say it doesn't make any difference what our words may be. It is our attitude. When we come to God, we must understand these are just requests. We are praying according to his will. That's exactly what Jesus did there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, he wanted to be delivered from the cross. Is there any way that I don't have to drink this cup? Let it pass away. But if not, I will drink it. And so this is the constant attitude of prayer that we must have as we are watching thereunto. Watching unto prayer. And so we find out that we indeed are to have these requests, asking, depending upon the divine grace of God in order to accomplish them. So let these requests be made known unto God. This tells us, it bespeaks a certain amount of faith. Only God is able to answer. And that's the place that everyone must come to. Because until we come to that place, we will have that deep down attitude, well, maybe I can do it on my own. And that's not going to work. And we may discover that in our own experience. Let your request be made known unto God. I also want to notice that when we come that way, it expresses a certain confidence in God. Confidence is just another word for faith. Our faith, our confidence is in God when we are indeed watching unto prayer, as we see here. Again, we'll not turn there, but 1 John 5:14 gives us these wonderful words. This is the confidence that we have in Him. And here it is. If we ask anything, sadly, some people stop right there. He said, I'd ask anything and He'd give it. He didn't exactly say that. But people don't want to understand that. They don't want to realize. Here's the rest of it. If we ask anything according to His will. This is why we must pray in the Spirit. Because the Spirit is always in harmony with the will of God. And so, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We must listen, as I've already brought out through the majority of this message. But there are requests that we would ask of God, and He intends for us to ask of Him. A great number of them. I want to close this message with one final request that Paul made. You'll find it here in verse 19. In verse 18, he said, we are to make supplication for all saints, praying one for another as a body. And we've experienced that. We've done that. We've benefited from that down through the years. And so it is for all saints. But then Paul had this special request, and for me. And I thought on this. I thought about Paul, what he didn't ask for. He did not ask that they should pray for his honor, his prestige, a great following, any great personal gain. God would meet this need or that need. Here's what he prayed for. And for me, that utterance, verse 19, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I can tell you that the mystery of the gospel is lacking in Christendom today. The depths of Paul's gospel are lacking in Christendom today. But this is a prayer that must be on our lips today. Those who hear this and know these things that Paul has been talking about here. It is we who must have that prayer on our lips. Praying for those who are in such a place of authority. Those who have a place in giving forth the word of God. As Paul said, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery. The mystery always indicates the deep things of God that He has. And they are so lacking in our world today. One reason that they are lacking is because the depths of divine grace trample on the flesh. The mysteries of God's word are hard on the flesh. And that's why some people do not want to hear them. And because of that, I fear there are some that do not want to say them because they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Well, that wasn't what Paul said. He said that I may open my mouth boldly, regardless of the consequence. And believe me, if you go back to Paul's life and what he suffered as a result of giving out the gospel, go back to some of the disciples and the apostles and what they suffered for giving out the gospel, and yet they were still able to boldly give forth that mystery. This is what we need in our world today. And so we must indeed have the same prayer requests, and often for those who would be willing to know, to understand this message, and then to proclaim it, as Paul says here, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And he said, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. This is the purpose that God put me here. This is why that he placed me in the place that he did. I am such an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And God can answer that same glorious prayer in our lives and also in behalf of others. So today, let us be careful to watch thereunto, as we have heard from Paul's message.